winding down Perek Tesvav up to Pasek. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Oizen Shemaster Chachas Chayim Bekerev Chachamim Tolin. An ear that listens to the Musar of life, Bekerev Chachamim Tolin, will merit to sit among the Chachamim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Oizen Shemas. Oizen Asher Tishma Hatechacha. Haneviya Chayim. An ear that is receptive to listening to Musar, which brings life, sofa tihya karuch achar hachochma, will ultimately be connected to chachma, will be attached to chachma, v'tolim b'kerev chachamim l'shmoya divrei chachma, and will reside amongst the wise to listen to words of chachma. According to this pasuk, there are two different types of knowledge. There's knowledge, there's musar, and there is chachma. And as a prerequisite to acquire chachma, one must first learn musar. Okay, we live in a generation where we don't really focus too much on musar. We just go dive in for chachma. But Avshal Salanter, he was the founder of the musar movement, and he felt that if there is no musar, then there will be no chachma. Reishis chachma, yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is the ultimate form of musar. And that's what the pasuk says, the ear must be receptive to listening to musar. Rashi pasuk lamed aleph, there is no Rashi. Now the Medrash, there are a number of Midrashim. The Medrash illustrates this pasuk by connecting it to the various people. The first person it connects to is to Elazar and Isamar. Elazar and Isamar, Aaron had four sons, Nadav, Aviv, Elazar, v'Isamar. Elazar, v'Isamar, they survived. Nadav, Aviv, died. Chazal said when Aaron, he made the eagle, the Chir eagle, he was instrumental in making the eagle, so all four of his children were Chayiv Misa. So that was the punishment of Aaron. And so why was it that Elazar, v'Isamar survived? So Chazal, in the Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah, I'm assuming Parashas Achrimos, they say that because they fulfilled this pasuk. It's a very fascinating medrash. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Yirmiya Pasach, Oizen Shamas Techachas Chayim, Oizen Shamas Techachas Chayim, Elu, Elazar v'Isamar Banav Shel Aaron, they remained alive. Why did they remain alive? If they were able to come to achieve Bekerev Chachamim Talim, which basically means, according to the Medrash, Shahayu Bitzad, which means that they are Shahayu Bitzad Hamisa, they were meant to die. Zachu v'nisyachit hadibur aleihem b'aladim b'al Moshe achi avihem b'chayehem. They merited to be part of the Messiah. We know there's a famous message that says that when Moshe, he first taught Aaron, I don't remember all the details, but Moshe, Moshe taught the Torah a number of times. First he taught the halacha to Aaron. Then he taught it to his sons, Elazar v'Isamar. And then he taught it to the Sanhedrin, to the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. The Midrash elaborates and illustrates how it was done, how exactly they stood. They stood on Elazar v'Isamar stood on his right, Aaron on his left, Aaron on his right, and the Sanhedrin in front of him. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught the Torah four times. First to Aaron, second to Elazar v'Isamar, then he taught it to the Sanhedrin, then he taught, I think, taught it again to everyone together. I don't remember all the details.
It's Perkei Rabbi Elazar, the end of Mishpatim, Yom Moshe Amar Alei Al Hashem, Atol v'Aaron, Atol v'Aviv, Mishpatim
Mishpatim. So there it says, Nadav Aviv, doesn't say Elazar v'Isamar?
Yeah, it doesn't
say Elazar v'Isamar, okay. Okay, so that's where it says it there, okay. But here in this particular, it says here that it references to Elazar v'Isamar. They took the place of their brothers, Nadav Aviv, so they were Bekerev Chachamim, amongst Aaron and the Shivim Zikanim. Why did they merit to survive the ordeal of the Chet Egel? Only because they were Shemas Techachas Chaim. Now, what exactly was the Musar does not say in this pasuk? Okay, another Medrash says that this refers to Ami Haratzim. It's a very powerful, very scary thing that Ami Haratzim, people in this world who have absolutely no shaykhus to learning to Torah, they will merit in the next world to sit among Ami Haratz. The Ami Haratz in this world, people who have no shaykhus to Torah, they will merit to sit together with the greatest Talmidei Chacham in the next world, only because in this world they listen to the Techachas Musar, they listen to the instructions of their teachers. The Gemara illustrates the famous story where Rav came to a city and he told the people that for baking matzah, you have to use Mayim Shalonu. which means water, you don't take water out of the well and immediately use it to knead the dough, to knead the flour to produce dough. You have to let the water sit for a period of time in order for the orders of the water should not turn the flour into chametz. If the water is too cold or is too hot, the flour can turn into chametz in less than 18 minutes. So the halach is you have to let the water sit out lukewarm for a period of time outside of its natural source, and that causes the water to the chill to dissipate. And if there's any natural heat also, it dissipates, so the water will be 100% lukewarm. So when you knead it with flour, it will not turn into chametz prematurely. So the word shalanu means it has to stay overnight. It must be removed from the well before sundown, and it must remain in a utensil overnight until the following morning. Shalanu is lina. The people there were such simpletons, they didn't understand what this word means. Shalina, shalanu, they thought when he said mayim shalanu means our water. The only water you can use for your flour is water from the Chachamim. You have to go to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim, they will give you water. So the people came to, I think it was Rav, and they lined up with utensils, buckets of water. We're waiting for the Mai. What? They thought it was holy water. That's the Lord. So Rav commented that look at the yofi, the simplicity, the emunas chachamim. They had no clue what the word shalanu meant. They thought it meant our water, which is ridiculous. And they must have been thinking, this is the most ridiculous thing we ever heard their whole life. That in order to bake matzah, you only can use water given by Talmidei Chacham, our water. Why in the world would someone want to do that? But because they had emunas chachamim, they listened. This type of emunah is what gives people access, VIP passes in Olam Haba. It's Oizan Shamas Teichachas, an ear that listens to the Teichachas Chayim, to the rebuke of life, Musar. They will merit, according to the Medrash, in the next world to sit, buddy, front row seats with the Kedef Chachamim Tolim. I had a Rebbe once, Rabbi Rav Kahanau. Rav Kahanau told me about a certain group of people in Flatbush. I don't want to reveal to you all the secrets. But he told me there was a certain group of people. He said to me, the Amaratzim, the Amiharats, they know from nothing, but they're Tmimim. These people, I knew these people, I once worked with these people, they knew from nothing. But whatever I told them to do, they did. And I can tell you, he told me have to send their children to certain yeshivas. They listened. He told them that their wives have to cover their hair. They listened. He told them what to do for Pesach. They listened. And these are people who knew from absolutely nothing. And it was always, he told me, he was so in awe of these people. They knew from nothing, nothing of nothing. He was a tremendous goon, Rav Kahana, Rav Lezer Kahana, who was one of the Shivas Tarvidas. That's mamash what it means in this pasuk. The ear which listens to the rebuke of life, even though just listening to the chachamim will grant them this reward of bekerev chacham talim. Okay, there's another important medrash. The medrash says that this pasuk refers to Reuven, specifically Reuven from the Shiftei Ka. Reuven was chastised by his father. What was the words of Reuven? How the next week's parasha? Reuven b'choriato koichi v'yeser gracious oni. Ozilalti. Wait, we'll say the pasuk again.
Or is it kohi?
Kohi v'yetsim yadi. You meant the pachas kamayim al toisar. You were meant for greatness. You were meant for very great things. So because of pachas kamayim al toisar, you lost everything. So Reuven suffered very harshly at the hand of Yaakov. Yaakov Inu, the next his parasha, gave him very powerful musar. So how did Reuven react to that musar? So if it was the average person, he would just say, goodbye and good luck. I'm out of here. I don't need this. I don't want to hear this musar. And goodbye. Reuven yet fulfilled, according to the Medrash, he personified the pasuk, Oizen Shemas Teichachas Chayim. He accepted it. he accepted the Musa. And only because he was Mekabel the Musa, he was Zecha to the Bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yechi Ruvein V'al Yamos. You should live in this world and you should not die in the next world. Bekeref Chachamim Tolin, he merited to be together with the Shiftei Ka and Klal Yisrael, both in this world and the next world, the Bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it was Kedai for him to hear the harsh rebuke of his father, to merit the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Prayer Musa. Now this pasuk really is a continuation of the previous pasuk. Prayer Musa Moyes Nafshay, a person that is Perea, loosens, undoes, Perea is like to untie. According to the Mitzudos, it means Hamavatel. It's really, he's borrowing the term to mevatel, to nullify Musar, make nothing out of it. Moyes Navsho is equivalent to detesting your own soul. A person's soul depends upon Musar, and by not listening to Musar, you are detesting your own soul for no good reason. Vishomea Toichachas, but in contrast, a person that does live to Musar, Koine Leif, he's acquiring for himself a new heart. It's a heart transplant to listen to words of Musar. Mitzudas Pasatame Beis, mevatel Es HaMusar, who Moyes Navsho, a person that Mizvat Musa, he detests his neshama. Kimo roha she'enoi choshesh b'dekanase. What has he seen? For what reason? What has he seen that he's not concerned for his benefit? Person wants to improve himself, he needs to learn Musa. Koine leiv. On the other hand, a person that listens to Musa, he's acquiring a heart. Yikne b'zeh leiv chodosh umaskil. He will become wise. Rashi pasuk. There is no Rashi in this pasuk either. Okay, and the midrashim. Okay, the Midrashim just pretty much they say what the Mitzudo says. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Gimel goes on to say, it's the last pasuk of this parak. Yiras Hashem Musar Chochma. The fear of Hashem is the ultimate Musar Chochma. It's the ultimate wise rebuke. The lefnei chavod anava. These are very powerful words. At the end of the pasuk. Before chavod comes humility. Let's first see the mitzvah. First, I'm giving musar chachma. Hayira techashev lemusar. Fear of Hashem is considered musar lehazin lechachma in order to hear chachma. So according to the mitzvahs, there's a procession here. There's yiras Hashem musar. The year of Hashem is musar, which leads to chachma. The imkain hayira who sibo lechachma ultimately leads to chachma, the kodemes law, and precedes it. In other words, what according to the Mitzvah, the Pasuk Lamed Gimel is pretty much saying exactly the same thing as Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And Pasuk Lamed Aleph is telling us that the oizen shemas techas chaim, a person in the ear that listens to Musar, the kerev chachamim talin, will merit to be in the presence of the wise. Here it's pretty much the same exact thing. We just coming to elaborate, what exactly is the Musar? What is the Teichachas Chaim? Teichachas Chaim is Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is the Musar which will lead to Chochmah. That's how you have to read the pasuk according to the parish of the Mitzudas. The Yiras Hashem is the Musar, Kama, and now that we have Musar, you will be Zeicha to Chochmah. And then he goes on to say, and if you want to know another concept where there's a prerequisite, the Imkain of... And furthermore, he says, "V'chein l'fnei chavod al karcha choya hanava." Before a person can reach honor, there is humility. Ki hanava he sibul lahavi as a kavod. Hanava is a prerequisite. It is a cause to bring kavod. In Cain, he lefanav goes before. So just like, I think what he's trying to say here is that just like everyone knows that in order to receive honor, there has to be a hakdama of hanava. Likewise, in order for a person to acquire chachma, there has to be yiras Hashem. You don't see arrogant people getting honor. Arrogance does not lead to kavod. Humility.
You do see it, but it's not true.
It's not true kavod. That's why there's a kavod with a vav. Okay, I really wanted to say this in the Chumash section later on, but we know that in this week's parasha, Yosef Avinu, Yosef, he tells his brothers, "I want you to go back to my father and tell him it's kol kivoidi asheri isi. Tell him about all of the honor which you have seen." It's a very bizarre statement. Why would Yosef tell his brothers, why would he brag? "I want you to go tell my father, look at my kavod, my honor." Is that, would Yaakov Avinu be very happy to hear that his son Yosef is bragging about the kavod? It's not exactly nachas for father to see that his son is a balgaiva. So the answer is, how is kavod spelled in the apostate? Kavod is spelled molek. Come out all over the Torah, kavod is spelled chaser, without a vav. And the classic example is Lavan. Lavan was kaved ma'od, batzon, babakar. Lavan was
loaded.
And the other word kavod is chaser, is written without a vav. Yosef, when he speaks to his brothers, is called kavodi. The kavod is spelled with a vav. So there's kavod that's chaser and kavod that's male. When kavod is chaser, it's lacking, it can also be read kaved. It's a burden. Lavan was not a Yorish Shemaim. Lavan was not something that focused on spirituality. His focus also, so not only Lavan, Lot. I'm sorry, not Lavan. I'm talking about Lot. Lot. I think it was Lot I'm referring to. Lot was kaved ma'od, that he was loaded. Lot was not focused on Yorish Shemaim. Lot was focused on physical possessions, monetary wealth. And when a person's focus is mammon, it becomes a burden in life. You always have to watch your back to make sure someone's not going to steal, take away your hard-earned money. Wealth can be a very great kaved, a very great burden, when it's chaser, when it's missing that vav. True kavod is not wealth. True kavod, honor, is spiritual accomplishments. That's true. Baruch kivoid Hashem mimikolmai. Hashem doesn't need money. Hashem is not Isaac in money. But when we say Baruch kivoid Hashem mimikolmai, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirituality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha. When Yosef told his brothers, "I want you to report back to my father," it's called kivoidi. He is kivoidi with a vav, male. Tell my father about my yirah shamayim. You'll report to him that I have a say there. I learned daf yomi. I give a shir. I go to a kollel. Everything I do is al derech hatara. That is the ultimate kavod a person can have. Yeah.
Kavod also has another meaning, as in ura kivodi.
My soul. The soul is kavod because the soul is a chelik nilokam imal.
Telling them to tell his father that his soul is still.
It's still holy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Well, kavod with a vav mole has a different connotation than kavod chaser. Kavod chaser means external manifestations of honor, empty, shallow forms of honor, which comes from wealth. That is not true honor. True honor is kavod mole with a vav.
And Achi Avram, it's very strange wording in the pasuk. You should say by Yehu es Lot, then Avram Yisrofu show, and come with says, because he can't separate Lot from his money.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that's why there has to be
by Yehu es Lot, Yisrofu show.
They're one and the same. You can't separate. Okay, so Akev. So here we have a very important word. Here the word kavod spelled mole. Hulefnei chavoid anava. What is anava? Now this end of the pasuk really parallels the beginning of the pasuk. What does it say later in Mishlei? Ekev anava yiras Hashem. In order to achieve yiras Hashem, you need humility. So it's really a process. First comes anava, then comes yira. Ekev anava yiras Hashem. When there's anava, when there's yira, then comes chachma. Reishis chachma, yiras Hashem. So when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, we have a process. Anava, yira, chachma. Ekev anava yiras Hashem. Reishis chachma, yiras Hashem. So that's what this pasuk here is saying. Yiras Hashem is musar chachma. The fear of Hashem is the musar, which will bring chachma. But in order to get that yiras Hashem, v'lefnei kavod, kavod is the kavod is also before a person comes to kavod, one needs anava. Anava is the prerequisite to achieve spiritual accomplishments.
How do you tie that into the pasuk?
Ezem ezehu mechubur hamechabed esabrios. Who is an honored person? Someone who is mechabed someone else. So I mean,
he has anava.
Is
anava prerequisite for that condition?
If you want to see the good in someone else, I guess so. If you want to see the good in someone else, I guess you have to be a humble person. People who only see their own greatness. If you only see your own greatness, you're not going to be able to. appreciate someone else's milas. So obviously, you have to be humble in order to be mechavit someone else. Yes, so it fits very well. Ezel mechubet mechavit sabrius. Mechavit sabrius means you see other people's good qualities, and that only can happen if you're willing to humble yourself and not focus on your own qualities. Because if you only focus on yourself, you're not going to be able to be blinded to see someone else's milas. Okay, now there's a very beautiful medrash. This connects to a whole perek in Shoftim of Gidoin. Gidoin was one of the leaders, one of the Shoftim of Klal Yisrael. And the difference between a Shoftim and a Melech is that a Shoftim was only for the time. A Shoftim only ruled in a Tkufa. When the Shoftim's mission was complete, he disappeared. He did not give over his power to the next generation. Something good to be said about that. There was no nepotism. Malchus goes down to each successive generation, for the better or for the worse, and even if the child is not as good, it doesn't make a difference. That's all that remains in the family. So there the story was, Gidon, he was very successful. The people said to him, we're so happy with you, Mishol Banu, the pasuk there in Perek, Ches and Shoftim, Mishol Banu, Gam Ata, Gam Bincha, Gam Ben Bincha, Ki Hoshatanu Miyad Midyan. When Gideon saved the Jewish people in war from Midyan, they wanted to make him into a ruler. Doesn't say into a melech, but rule over us, you. Don't just disappear. The tsara has ended. But don't leave us. We want you to continue in your leadership role. You, your children, and your grandchildren, because you have saved us. Gideon, in his extreme humility, said, I'm not going to take advantage of the situation. Loi emshol ani bochem. I will not rule over you. V'lo yimshol b'ni bochem. My children will not rule over you. Hashem yimshol bochem. Hashem should be your ruler. This was during the time of the Shoftim. The Shoftim was a certain mila that we did not need yet at this point in time. Kings. A king is, that's what Shmuel said, is a chesaron to some degree. Niskatnu hadaros. Why do you need a king? Hashem is your king. Just follow what it says in the Torah, and that should be enough. A king, me as someone, has to put you in place. So at this point in time, Gideon was saying, you're still at a high level of spirituality where you don't need me. Hashem is your king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very pleased with these words, with these beautiful words of Gideon, because of this humility, this anava, and Hashem granted him kavod. What was the kavod? And therefore, Amalekh Lishbarak Amartika Chayecha Shlimam Mimcha Melech. From you, in Echonami, his children did become, his children did serve in leadership roles, Avi Melech. Shenemar, later in Perek Tes, Vayosar Avi Melech. That Avi Melech, his son, became the next Shefet. He became a Shefet later on, Vayosar. And him, they treated as a king, vayelech vayamlichu es avimelech lemelech. At Amarta, you said, the Midrash concludes, lo yemshal ani bochem, lo yimshal bini bochem, Hashem yimshal bochem, haray sholosh shorim atu nesil levanecha malchus, your son will rule for 3 years. Vayosar avimelech al Yisrael shalosh shanim. He ruled over. Avimelech was the next Shofet. He ruled over Yisrael for 3 years. So the Medrash ties this, the reason why Avimelech, this Shofet, ruled was a reward for Gideon for his humility, his anava. The anava of saying Hashem who Malkeichem, Hashem Yimshol Bochem, Hashem granted kavod to his family that his children did indeed serve in a position of kavod.
Wasn't Avimelech the one who killed all the rest of his sons and
you know, I haven't learned this in a long time, so I'm a little bit shaky. I don't know. I have to go back and hold on it. I once learned this the Ian Rav, and I just I have a head like a cat. Forget everything in 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Started off, and their brothers kicked them out, and they didn't have Yerusha, and they came back to him.
So this is, you want it to Yosef. Okay, and Yosef, interesting. Okay, I don't know. I hear, okay. Okay, so this is something that we have to study. Maybe one day we'll learn Shoftim. Halavai, Hashem should give us the opportunity, and maybe we'll come back to this Medrash. Okay, so this is just a pasuk to keep in mind. It's a very powerful concept. Lufnei Chavod Anova, person, Anova is the most important thing in this world. Look at pasuk Amud Gimel Rashi. Lufnei Chavod Anova, Anova Gureres Shakavod Ba. Anova causes that honor comes. A person should not think that by being humble he's going to lose out. Adarabah, the greatest kavod only comes through humility. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Parak Tes Zayin. La'odah ma'arche lev u'me'asher ma'aneh lash. It's a very beautiful pasuk, very powerful pasuk. We say this pasuk, we read this pasuk in Oichila. Oichila la'kehel. How does it go? Chalafana. We say this in on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Before the Shliach Tzibur begins, the section of the Musaf in which he is Mevakesh Rachamim for the Tzibur. That's the Haskalah. What is very interesting about Achila, to go to the Machzor, it's one of the only things left in this generation that everyone still does the same. It used to be years ago, the Nusach Atzil of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was standard. It's not exactly standard. Every community has a certain Nusach, but there's Nusach and there's a... There's a nigun. I'm not into all these things, but part of the tefillah is nusach, and then chazon and bali tefillah in our generation like to embellish the davening of yamim nayroim by giving it a little life, by giving it some melody, singing together. So today, years ago, there was no such thing as melodies. The whole davening from beginning to end was pure nusach. I remember as a very little child davening in Chaim Berlin, and they came out saying nothing. It was all nusach from beginning to end. And then the Baal Tzila retired, and a young Baal Tzila took over, and he started out first imitating the original, the old Baal Tzila, and there was no nigun. And then the next year, he added a nigun. And the next year, another nigun. And another nigun, and now you would not even recognize the davening from beginning to end. The whole davening from beginning to end is kamat. It's singing, it's levedic, it's slow songs, it's fast songs, it's beautiful. And of course there are certain sections which is still nusach. And that's already good. You go, that's a yeshiva davening. If you go into a shul, okay, you go to the Young Israel, I used to also daven for many years, so there from beginning to end it's very low nusach. There's nusach, but it's even more nigun. But there's one thing that everyone, as far as I know, everyone still ar hayom hazeh does nusach, and does not do nigun, and that is for Oichila. The section of the davening Oichila, where he says, "I begin to ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Racham." It's like an elaborate Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagi Tilosach. In fact, that's the last line. The last line of Oichila is Hashem Sefosai. Open up my lips and my mouth and my Ufi Yagi Tilosach. That's the closing line. In that everyone does nusach, and there we have a paraphrase of this expression. I don't remember the exact nusach, but we focus on what it says here in this pasuk. La'adam ma'arche lev u'me'ashem ma'ane lashen. Now, what does this mean? So let's see first see the mitzudos. La'adam biyad ha'adam la'aruch hadvadim beliboy b'seder nos aval me'ashem bo. One more time, it's in the power of man to arrange the words in his heart in a proper, in a seder nos, in a beautiful fashion. You can plan in your heart a thought, an idea to present before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the success in expressing it, in articulating it, in making it known, that is an entirely different talent. That is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many brilliant people out there in the world, but there are very few people who know how to communicate, who know how to express, who know how to give it over. Avol me Hashem from Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bo Ha'ezer comes the help l'sader amorav to arrange the words beloshon with eloquence, with an expression l'bal yikasha bohem, that he should not stumble in his expression, in his words. My father always used to say, he used to give a drasha, so he my father put a lot of effort into his drashas. That's probably all the rabbanim. He would get up very early, he would prepare the whole week, think about it, and on Shabbos morning he would get up and work out the words, and then he would say the drasha Shabbos morning before Musaf, and then Mitzvah Shabbos he would write down the drasha. So my father always used to say he has three drashas: the drasha he prepares, the drasha that he says, and the drasha that he writes down, and they're completely different. Because when you prepare something, that's exactly what the pasuk says, lo adam archeleif. You can do the very best in preparing a thought, an idea, but when you actually get up to say it, it just somehow comes out different. The ideas can be very different. That's part of the process. And then after you finish your drasha, you have a new appreciation of what you said, and when you actually want to record it, you record something a little different. So to some degree, that's printed to in this pasuk, la'odam archalev. You can do the best that you want when it comes to Hashem ani lashon. The ability to express it, that is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's what Rav Salman Rechik says, why we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, beginning in Shmona Esrei, because their quintessential quality was the ability to for tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we begin tefillah, we begin Shmona Esrei, invoking their name, because they knew what to say and how to. They were the best of
dominance. Interesting. Yeah. They knew, they had the ma'ane lashayim. So it's a very beautiful idea. Let's see what it says over here in Pasuk Aleph of the Rashi. Rashi says, La'odam archelev, who soider atzmai atzasai udvarav belibo. A human being has the ability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given every human being to arrange his plans and his words in his heart. But the ability to communicate, to give it, to bring it forth, Ume Hashem Ma'ane Lashon Kishabo Lehoshiv HaKadosh Lehoshiv. When a person comes Lehoshiv to respond, to express himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskiloi, Hashem grants him wisdom, Bidvarov, with words. Hashem enlightens him with the proper words to arrange, to express his idea. The idea is in his mind, but he needs the proper expression to bring it forth. Im zocha mezamin lo ma'ane tov, or if he merits, Hashem will provide him with a ma'ane tov, a good response. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Hashem, if he merits, Hashem will mezamin lo, will send to him ma'ane tov. Maybe this means a person, a representative, a person that can argue his case. Sometimes a good lawyer, a toin. Today it's a big business, it's a dirty business. Go to a Beis Din, think a lawyer is a dirty business? It's even a dirtier business than the Batei Dinin, where you hire Jewish lawyers. And what do Jewish lawyers do? They argue your case. They're tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, and they know how to drei a svara like this. They can take the same svara, and for client number one, client number one, they'll say the same tzais to argue the person is chayif. And then 10 minutes later, they're the lawyer for the next case, the next guy in line, and they're arguing that he's potter. And he'll use the same tzais. The same tzais. He'll just drei it this way. And if he's a good success, we'll convince the Dayan that he's right both times. And the Dayan will pass it in favor. So there are people like this. There are brilliant people. I knew someone like this. He was no longer living. But he died young, but he was a toyin. That was his parnasa. He was a toyin. And wherever I would meet him, we would talk and learn. He was like an Ilyusha person. What are you learning? Just say to him, what daf you learning? And right away he would tell you a shtickle Torah, tell you longus, and he could fadrei you in this way and that way. And he goes to Beis Din, and there's a question that he knew much more than all the Dayanim put together, and he would argue on behalf of his clients. And that's how he made parnasa. Of course, that's what they do. That's how it's done. Absolutely, that's the way. But
question the litigants themselves.
You've the Bezin does both. The Bezin does both. The way but there's no such thing as Zman Hazeh. This is going off the topic as Din. We all know there's no such thing. Today when you go to a Bezin, it's Karov Ladin. You go to a Bezin, it's really basically a dispute resolution. They have this in the secular world as well. If you don't want to go to court, you go to the city.
Arbitrator, mediator,
different types of techniques where you have laymen sitting down in front of you, and they work out a resolution, and you have to sign the dotted line before you start that you'll accept their decision. So the same thing is really true. That's really the way it works in court in Bezdin, because no one today is on a madrega. We're talking about for the last hundreds of years is on a madrega where we know chesh and mishpat on the tips of our fingers inside out, where a case can be presented and three talmidei chacham can paskin according to halacha, the exact halacha. When it comes to mammon, there are so many different svaras back and forth. You can't be 100% certain what the halacha is. So basically, we know what the gist is, the general halacha. You know chesh and mishpat, so you know the basic halacha, but there's always room. There's room to make mistakes. There's room to go different ways, and therefore the dayanim make a compromise. It doesn't mean 50-50. It can mean 90%, 10%. It can 80-20, 70-30, and based upon halacha. But you need a lawyer to assist the dayanim in opening up their minds to what the potential issues are. A dayan only knows that much. If you have a good tayin, he can make the dayanim aware, you know, there are other issues in halacha that may work in favor or against the balei dinim.
But it's corrupted because
it's not
if somebody
corrupt.
Is poor, they can't afford to hire a tohen, so the other guy has a tohen and he doesn't. So that corrupts the whole system.
That's true. You may make a good point. You want to go hire a good tohen. The other one doesn't have that advantage. Okay, that can be a problem. That is a good point.
It's like getting a lawyer. You try to get the best lawyer.
Okay, so but in the United States, they give you the government gives you a lawyer, court-appointed lawyer. So
the system is corrupt. Also,
I don't know. You know, you can't generalize. There are batadinim that are very good, and there are batadinim which are unfortunately are corrupt. That's right.
It's corrupted by the fact that what you just said.
Okay, so you're making a good point. There's not enough support. Many people over the years have tried to create a Bezdin that is impartial, that should different techniques. Problem is, it's a lot of money. It's all about money, money, money. RCA has a pretty good reputation now. RCA has gone a long, long way in establishing a fair judicial system. Other communities also. Every community has a batei dinim. Okay, but you're making a good point. It's not like you know. It's you need a lot of money to have it funded well. To people to work full time. It's not so simple. Okay, but here we are.
Maya Lashon is the name of a classic book on funerary rites.
Yeah.
How to visit the sick and.
So why do they call it man? How to speak? How to express yourself?
And in every language, you have it in Hebrew and in German.
Yiddish,
Hebrew,
yeah.
And English.
It's a cemetery
center.
It's like a
Tzenereno.
Ma'ane Lashon, okay.
It's like a Tzenereno.
Okay, now the Medrash focuses on the word Ma'ane of Lashon Eidos. Eidos. Ma'ane means testimony. And the way... Okay, and according to the Medrash, let me just find it over here. Me'ashem ani lashon. Okay, me'ashem ani lashon. Kol adam shevich tichinas lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I can't find it here at this moment. Okay, it's another. I don't know. Maybe it could be another sefer. But ma'ane also means testimony. It comes from the expression of testimony. Ma'ane lashon. And then one other quick medish is that medish mishlei on this pasuk here in mishlei la'odam achilev is interpreted to mean that a person really pours out his heart. He arranges his heart to be mispalel to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He is guaranteed that Hakadosh Baruch Hu will grant him siyata deshmaya in mehashem. Hashem will give him the koyach ma'ane lashon to express himself properly in his tefillah, to succeed in in tefillah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words of the Medrash are Davar Acher Umei Hashem Ani Lashon Kol Adam Sheshoyfech Techinasai Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tefillah Harei Hu No Sein Lo Ma'ani Lashon. Hashem will grant him the koyach. If a person really wants to be misfalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will grant him his success. That's really what we said. That's why we say this Nusach before on the Yom Narayim by the Shlech Tzibor before he begins the central part of the Shemona Esrei. So let's go to Pasuk Beis Kol Darke Ish Zach Be'enov V'toichein Ruchos Hashem V'tzudos Zach Be'enov Ki Ein Eroi Choyv Al Yatzmo. Every person does not see his own flaws. All the ways of men are pure. Zach are pure in his own eyes. V'toichein Ruchos, however, Toichein means the inside. Tochin comes from the word toch, the inside. V'tochin Hashem hu besoch rucho shel kol adam. Hashem is inside the spirit of every man. V'yodehu im drachav zakoim im lo. But Hashem knows the truth if his ways are corrupt or are honest. Rashi, V'tochin rucho es Hashem umoyne halavavos mi hatoiv mi hora. Hashem counts man, the hearts of man. Who is good and who is evil? A person ain't adam roi nigi atzmo, but you can't fool Hashem. What's the expression? You can fool people. You can fool most of the time. You can't fool everyone all the time. Okay, you certainly can't fool Hashem even anytime. Pasuk Gimel Gol El Hashem Asecha. Gol can mean here different things. Rashi has two interpretations. The first interpretation of the Mitzvah says Saveith, like a Gilgul HaChoyzer Ba'olam. It is a circuit in the world, something which comes around. Gol El Hashem Asecha Saveith. The konu machshavos secha mitzudos sabeb maasech el Hashem liyos mevi lavadosai. You shall cause your deeds to your actions shall revolve around Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The oz yikunu then the yisbosesu machshavos secha, and then your thoughts will be established and firm. Everything that you do in your life, in your daily affairs, shall be focused, shall revolve around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when your daily affairs are revolved, they are soivev, around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your thoughts will be firmly established. Kol Lashem Asecha, your deed shall revolve around Hashem, and you will merit the Yikonu Machshavos Secha. You will think properly. You'll have, Mr. Glad, as you like to say, you'll have Das Torah. Your machshava, your mind will work. Will always think in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. I heard Rabbi Rothkopf, or a Kefet, he said that what's the difference between living in a tri-state area, living outside of the tri-state area. In New York, there are so many shuls. It's so easy to be religious, to be a shomer Torah mitzvahs. So I've got his exact words. Your activities. You live your life, and you fit in your religion into your life. What comes first is, I have a job. I have a family. I have parnasa. Oh, I have to daven mincha. Okay, I'll go to Landau's. I'll go to Frankel's. I have to daven Marv. Okay, yeah, I'll figure. I have to daven Yomi. I'll fit it into my schedule because I have 20 options for a daven Yomi, so I'll fit it. So the first thing that I need to take care of is myself. I take care of my family, my parnasa, and my religious life. I'll fit in. When you go out of town, you don't have that luxury. When you go out of town, there's only one minyan for mincha. If you want to daven mincha with a minyan, you work out your life around your religious life. There's only one shir in town. That means you're not going to schedule a business trip, a business meeting, during the time when there's a shir. So you arrange your life around your religious life. You organize your personal life around your religious life. And he was going on to say that's a tremendous smile. We get very spoiled. You love to be very spoiled living in an area where you have everything. Because then you're able, you're not in a mindset. It's mamash, that's what it says in this pasuk. You're not in a frame of mind where religion is the ikkar. What the ikkar is my personal life. And I will just I'll fill in my religious needs at my convenience. But when you don't have, that's the difference from this generation and the previous generation. The previous generation, they had nothing. They didn't have all of the conveniences and service that we have in our generation, and therefore they had to adjust their personal life around their religious life. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. It's a maila not to have too much. When you don't have too much, then you know what the ikar is and what is the tafel. Gol el Hashem ma'asecha. Your personal life, your ma'asecha should revolve around Hashem, not the other way around. It's not that your religious life should fit into your personal life. And if you'll do that, then you'll be in good shape. Yikonu ma'asecha, you'll have the proper outlook in going forward in life. It's a very deep idea from Rabbi Rakefet. Okay, let's go to Pasuk. Pasuk, I'll see first the Rashi. Rashi, we didn't do the Rashi yet. Pasuk Gimel, Gol Lashem Asecha, Gilgil, Galgil V'Hashlech Olav Tzarchecha. You shall revolve and cast upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu your needs. Like we said, a Sivivon, a dreidel is a Sivivon. Everything centers around the center point of the dreidel. Galgil V'Hashlech Alecha Tzarchecha, you shall cast and focus upon all of your activities upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yukonu machshav asech, and by doing so your thoughts will be firmly established. Period. Dovar acher, another interpretation, gol el Hashem ma'asecha, hispalel, pray. New word for tefillah, just when you thought it was safe, you knew every single word for tefillah, they all like, there's a marriage that gives us 10 words for tefillah, right? So here you could add number 11. Number 11 is goal. Goal means to revolve, to connect yourself, to circle. Goal el Hashem ha'asecha hispalel lefanov al kol tzarchecha v'yikonu yisbosesu v'yiskaimu. V'yikonu means it will be established, your thoughts, your plans. If you add into the equation tefillah, then you will succeed. A product that comes from tefillah is something that will last forever. Something that comes by potluck, by chance, will not last. It has no kiyum. There's a famous word, I think it's from Rav Yecheskel Levenstein. If it's not from him, then it's from Rav Yerucham Levavitz. I don't remember. It's one of the two Balei Musar. When Shmuel, when Chana was childless, and she was mispalel bitterly for a child, she came to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Haftar of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. She comes to the Beis HaMikdash. She's mispalel. Her lips were not moving. Words were coming out. And she meets Eli HaKoyen. Eli gives her a bracha. You'll have a child. Indeed, she had a child, Shmuel. Okay, Shmuel was 2 years old. She was weaned. And now she sends them off to Kollel. She sends them off to the Beis HaMikdash to study under Shmuel. Day comes. The day comes when Shmuel is Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbah. The question was this, can a Tzar perform Shechita? And Shmuel Paskin, that is no, it doesn't say in the Torah anywhere that a Kohen is required to do the act of Shechita. You need a Kohen from Kabbalah Ve'ilach. You don't need a Kohen for Shechita. So Shmuel said to, so Eli said to Shmuel, you are correct. However, you Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabo, and therefore you are Chayev Misa. Goodbye. Gets on the cell phone, he calls up his mother. Ma, I am in trouble. Chana comes down, and Chana says to Eli, you cannot take the life of my child. I don't know, obviously there's a lot more to the story, what this means exactly. They're going to kill him, it's Chayev Misa, they Shemayim. Chana comes to Eli and says, Eli, you can't do this. You can't, just because he made a mistake, but I have a guarantee. This is not, he made a mistake. But you told me that, I guess you, I was misspelled, you gave me a bracha, I'll have a child. And there were no conditions attached. So just because he was Malach Bifnei Rabo, you have to do something in order that he will be forgiven, he will not die. So it's shocking what it says in the Gemara. Eli says to her, sorry, he has to die. He was Moir Halacha Bifnei Rabo. And as far as the bracha that I gave you, that you will have a child, you'll have another child, a replacement. That's what it says in the Gemara. Shmuel will die, and you will go home, you will become pregnant, you will have another child, and that child will live. Just make sure you teach that child not to make the same mistake. Know his place. So Chana says something extremely powerful, which ties into this pasuk according to Rashi's second shot. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. What does that mean? I think it's Rabbi Yochum Levavis. I'm not sure what he says. Al Nar Hazeh Lisvol the Bali Musar say, this child, Eli, the one that I already have received, is a product of tefillah. You assisted by giving me a bracha. I came here, I was mispalel for a child, and you answered amen to my bracha. I was mispalel. If this child dies and I get a replacement, it's not due to the koyach tefillah. It's due to your bracha. He has to die. I answered amen. So due to technicalities, because I gave you a bracha, you'll have a child. This one is going to die, you'll get another child. But the new child will not be a product that came through tefillah. It will be nothing more than a bonus. Such a child, nothing will come from. A success, something that you have in this world that just came due to technicalities, due to potluck, due to mazel, due to someone else's zuchusim, not due to my zuchusim, is not something that will have a kiyum. El hanar hazeh hispalalti. This child Shmuel, this is the product of my tefillah. A product of tefillah, something which will last forever, from which I will have true nachas. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk in Rashi's second interpretation. Goyl el Hashem. Goyl means to make circles, and in this context it means to badger Hashem, kaviyachal, to circle yourself around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come back again and again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be misfollow to Him, for ma'asecha, for everything that you want in this world, and then the yikonu machshavosecha, your thoughts, your plans will be established, it will be remain forever. A product of tefillah has a kiyum, something that does not come through koyach tefillah, which is here today and is gone tomorrow. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now this is a very, very famous pasuk. He has over here many midrashim, which I'm not going to do, but just to touch the words of the pasuk, Kol Poal Hashem Lema'aneyu. Everything Hashem has done in this world, Kol means everything, and that means everything, everything. Poal, it's a verb. Hashem has done, has created, has acted. Hashem Lema'aneyu is for His sake. It's all for Hashem's honor. The Gam Rasha, Liyom Ra, even the Rasha, on the day of his evil, even that is an expression of the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that evil people are punished, that itself is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. That's one interpretation. Let's go slow. Let's see the Mitzvot first. Pasuk Dalet of Mitzvot David Kol, HaKol Bara Hashem, everything was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mitzvot is telling us the word Poel here should be substituted with the word Bara, creation. Everything in this world has been created for what? Laman kiluso, so that Hashem should be praised as a means of using to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gam, furthermore, toivas harasha, the koyach hazeroya shenosan bo, the good that a rasha has in this world and his success, hu lihios muchon liritzuos mardus, is being prepared for his punishment, biyom bo hara, lios shevet apo, for the rasha, for to be the rod, all of the success that the rasha has is only going to be instrumental in his destruction. The ill gain by the evil person will serve as the punishment itself to the rasha. The imkain gamzehu lemaneu, even the success of the rasha is also going to serve as honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when the Rishoyim are destroyed, that is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's righteousness. Revelation in this world and the next world. So even the success of the Rasha will be instrumental in his downfall. So even that is part of the process of the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We see that if the Rasha gets punishment in the next world, how do we see that? How do we know that?
We don't. We have to wait until the end of days.
Faith.
We have to wait until the end. If it was so simple, then we wouldn't be here. We would be somewhere else. It's Enochem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk dal kol pol Hashem l'maneu hakol osa b'shvil kiluso. Everything was created in this world for b'shvil kiluso, that Hashem should be honored. Kmo anu la Hashem b'todo. Answer me. It's coming to explain over here the word l'maneu. What is the word l'maneu? L'maneu means honor, to be owned, to v'onisa v'yamarta l'fnei Hashem l'tech, raise up your voice. And in this context, v'onisa means to speak up in praise, to give shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kmo anu l'Hashem b'soda, raise up your voice to Hashem in thanksgiving. So according to Rashi's interpretation, call, everything po'al has been created, Hashem l'maneu, so that we shall praise Hashem. Lashon of aniyah. Dover acher, another interpretation, lehoid olaf. Okay, here's where I was confusing what I said before. Here, this term, the word ma'ane, means to testify. Everything Hashem created in this world serves as testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Lehoid olaf kolomar, po'alo, all of Hashem's creations made olaf al givuroso, sheniyeh, Hagodas Tehillim. Now this is taught us in the Haggadah of Tehillim, this concept, Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin. Everything that Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu has created testifies that Hashem is the creator. V'gam Rasha, Asa Lehanicho Liyom Ra, V'chol Zeh Likiluso. Rashi is not as elaborate as the Mitzudos. The Rasha, Hashem has allowed him to remain liyom rav v'chol zel likiluso. This also serves Kadosh Baruch Hu's praise. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is patient with the Rishoyim and does not obliterate them right away, that itself is a form of praise for Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has patience. He waits for the Rasha to do tshuva. Okay, there are a number of midrashim on this pasuk. Let's just touch upon one of them. Shanu Rabbi Seinu Arba Oso Shechalios. This is a little strange how the Gemara uses this concept. Okay, Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. What's the problem? What is the problem with Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos? The Karban Pesach must be slaughtered when? On Shabbos. That is the halacha. The Karban Pesach, what is normally done? When Pesach falls out in the middle of the week, the Shechitas HaPesach is done after Chatzos, and it is immediately prepared. You can do everything that you want to prepare the Karban Pesach. It's eaten at night, on the 15th. But when Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to roast the Karban Pesach until nightfall. But the Shechita must be done on Yom Yudalad. The problem is, what do you do with the animal from the time of Shechita until the time of Tzliya, of roasting? It's going to spoil. You do the Shechita, you do the Kabbalah, you do the Zrika, and the animal is now in the middle. It is not yet, it has to be flayed. You have to remove the skin off the neck, because if you don't remove the skin, it's going to begin to smell. So we have a dilemma. So let's read the Gemara. Arba Asa Shechalias B'Shabbos Mafshitin Es HaPesach Arechoze Divi Rabbi Shmuel B'noi Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Breika. Rabbi Shmuel B'noi Shel Rabbi Yochanan says that not only can you do are you required to halacha to the Shechita, you're even allowed to remove the hide of the animal. Now that is also can be a malacha of but that's also problematic, because you're preparing the animal by pulling off a tirucha yisera to pull the hide off the back of the animal. According to Rabbi Yochanan Shlomo Rabbi Yochanan Baruch, you only got to do it until the chazeh, until the chest. You can't remove the hide off the entire animal. You only can pull it down halfway. You can remove the skin entirely from the animal. The Gemara says, "Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Daha is Avilei Tzach Kavaya." According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're only allowed to do what is needed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ein oi tzarech l'chal l'shabbos, and removing the hide of the animal is chil Shabbos. That's not necessary to remove the entire skin. El Rabban my taima. Why did Rabban allow you to remove the entire hide? It's not necessary. You're not going to roast it until the night. So why do you need to remove the entire skin? Omar Rabba Babar Chana, Omar Yochanan de Makra, the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu. Everything Hashem created was for His purpose, was for His praise. What is the Rav Yosef Amar Shelo Yasriach. We don't want it to spoil. Rab Amar Shelo Yiyu Kotche Shamayim Mutolim Kinevela. We don't want it to be mutol kinevela. It looks disgusting. So there are two reasons why you are allowed. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed you to do the Maisa Shchita on Shabbos, automatically you're allowed to continue and do additional melachos. In why? Only built upon this pasuk. Kol Paul Hashem Lemaneu. Everything that Hashem has done in this world is to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu honor. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, it cannot be the mitzvah will come l'day b'zayim. In other words, I can slaughter the Korban Pesach, and that's what's required. I will leave the skin of the animal attached to the meat. That will cause it to be smell. Because the Mitzvah says if you're going to let an animal sit in the sun for 6 hours from the time of Shechita until nightfall and not remove the skin without refrigeration, it's going to smell. Okay, so let it smell. Too bad for you. Now when it's nightfall, you'll first remove the skin, you'll roast it, and you'll eat rotten meat. So that's the way it is. That's the mitzvah. Too bad for you. That's what the Gemara is saying. Otherwise, what is the alternative? It's Chil Shabbos. It's Chil Shabbos to take the hide off the animal. Whatever the malach is, I don't know whatever the malach is, but removing the hide, that's not part of the avod. The avod is only Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. That's the avodah. The avod does not allow you to do Hafshata, to remove the heart of the animal. There's no need. You can do that Mitzvah Shabbos. But what are the consequences? It's going to smell. It's going to smell. Or it's going to be disgusting. It's a bezoin. Go to the Beis HaMikdash. You see all these animals hanging by their legs in the Beis HaMikdash. So, too bad. That's the way it is. You'll eat smelly meat. You'll walk in the Beis HaMikdash. You'll see Kadosha Mutal Bebezoin. Well, this is a very powerful Gemara. Along comes the Gemara. No. We have a Pasuk in Mishlei. Kol Poal Hashem Lemano. Built into every single mitzvah in the Torah. It's like Derachecha Darkei Noyam. The ways of Hashem are pleasant ways is built in this concept that a mitzvah can only result in something that is an honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem allowed you to do the Maisa Shechita, it is a given. He also allowed you to remove the hide of the skin from the animal entirely so that it should be a complete honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we eat meat that is fresh, that is not spoiled, and that Kadoshim are not mutal b'bezoyin. So built into every mitzvah is a requirement that the mitzvah should result in the ultimate kavod shemayin, even if it includes the violation of other melachos on Shabbos. Now that is a principle which is not just true for Korban Pesach, that is a principle that applies to every single mitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah, again this focuses on the concept of derachecha darchei noyam. If you are doing a mitzvah and people are looking at you and saying, oh, this is disgusting, why do you have to people wear tzitzis and the tzitzis are too big or they're straying on the floor and the people, they look, what a schlump, you're sloppy. If the mitzvah results in a chil Hashem, you're not doing the mitzvah right. If the mitzvah is not presented in a way where people, it results in the kiddush shem shemayim, then you know there's something wrong based upon the principle kol Paul Hashem Lamano. When you see religious Jews doing something and the world doesn't understand and they view it as something which is disgusting, we got a problem. We got a problem because that's not what the Torah wants. It has to result in Lamano. If we're resulting in the concept of Yasriach, it's smelling, or it's Kodshe Shemayim Mutolim Kinevela, we know we're doing something wrong. Okay, then the Gemara goes on further and says, Rabbi Shmuel, hi, kol Paul, my overlay. The Gemara is a kasha, but what about Rabbi Shmuel? The Rabbana attack right. The Rabbana right that you have to go and you have to remove the skin. Rabbi Shmuel does not allow you to remove the skin entirely. So what then does he apply the positive kol Paul Shemlano? The my overlay, mi boile, shlo yotzi, yaseimurim, koidim, hapshot, asa'ar. Then also another concept, don't remove the limbs from the animal before you remove the skin. My taima. Because then the hair, it's going to get disgusting when you go. If you don't want hair from the animal to stick to the emurim. Okay, he applies the principle to another concept where it should not be disgusting. When the emurim are put in the mizbech, it should be in a way that's mechuder. It should not be a way that's disgusting because of this principle called Pol Hashem Man. Okay, we'll stop over here. Ain't a chanami. It's a problem. Call Pashan Laman. It has to be done by Oifan that it's not a Chil Hashem. They think it's not a Chil Hashem.